Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of the Church of Christ at Redan Road, located in Lithonia, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. We ask you all to please stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. Get your galoshes and your raincoat and your umbrellas out. It has been raining all week here in our little area. And looking at the forecast, it's pretty much going to rain all the way through July the 4th. And so be prepared. Don't be surprised and don't be shocked. Matter of fact, as many times as the Lord has made it rain, we ought to already have a raincoat. Y'all not have to run out and buy no raincoat, umbrella, or no galoshes. And as many times as the Lord has caused it to snow, y'all not have to just run out just in emergency to buy no coat and no boots and no nothing. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. God is so consistent that we don't have to be shocked and surprised every time the weather changes or something of that sort. We ought to be, by this time, you ought to be prepared for what God is doing in the world because he is consistent. Good morning to everybody everywhere. We are hastening to July 4th, and I'm telling you that the month of June is just about out of here. Boogity boogity is on its way out of here, and then July will be up on us just right now. But Monday is the holiday will start this weekend, and you'll have some people traveling. You'll be going somewhere. We pray for your safe travel, that you make it there safely and back. Make it a round-trip ticket. That's what we want. We don't want no one-way nothing. We want a round-trip ticket. We want a ticket to go to visit our friends and then make it back to the house. That's what we want. And then maybe you got some friends coming your way. You should already be prepared. When they walk in, don't be complaining the whole weekend. I didn't get a chance to do this, and you'll have to overlook this. I ain't overlooking nothing. You already know the 4th of July is coming up, and it'll be here Monday, and your people are supposed to be here Friday, so you need to get busy. I'm trying to tell you a little bit about procrastination. That's one of the biggest sins in the world, is putting off, and the next thing you know, the situation is up on you, and you got all this apologizing to do, and it's really just not worth it. If they walk in on you, and you just ain't got the floor mopped, and just don't say nothing, because they already, you don't have to explain nothing. We can see that you ain't mopped no floor, and that you ain't done, so you don't have to go into all of that. But the holiday is coming up on us, and the 4th of July, for years, the only thing I focused on basically was just celebrating it. I mean, putting off the fireworks, shooting the gun, and all that kind of stuff. I never really focused on this idea of freedom about it, even though that's all involved in them, you know, the Independence Day. But the 4th of July, on July the 4th, 1776, the 13 colonies claimed their independence from England, and the event which eventually led to the formulation of the United States. And each year on July the 4th, also known as Independence Day, the first Independence Day was celebrated, took place in Philadelphia on July the 8th, 1776. And it was also the day that the Declaration of Independence was read for the first time in public. After that, they had summoned them after ringing the Liberty Bell. But only John Hancock actually signed the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July, 1776, and then all the other people who signed it, they signed it a little bit later. And the original flag, believe it or not, the original flag, the stars was not crossed like you see them today. They was in a circle. The original flag of the United States was in a circle, and they did it so that all the colonies would appear equal. Go figure that they would all appear to be equal. And then in 1870, almost 100 years after the Declaration was written, Congress first declared July 4th to be a national holiday. And so when we think about that, and we'd be talking about freedom, we'd be talking about freedom quite a bit during that time. But what does it mean to be free? Freedom is not a 100% total freedom. It's because just as soon as you get in your car and you pull out of your driveway, the first corner that you come to says stop. Oh, you can drive all day, but you got to observe them stop sign. And you drive a little bit further, and all of a sudden you just decide to just go as fast as you want to. You'll find a sign that says speed limit 25. So we're not totally free to do what we want to do. So what does freedom look like? Does it look like the voting ballot box alone? Does it look like someone walking out of prison? Oh, he's free, but he's on probation for the next 20 years. He's got to wear an ankle monitor for the next 15 years. So is he totally free? And I'm wanting us to look at this thing, freedom, because I think sometimes we get it mixed up. Is it to be able to buy anything that you want? And of course, you know, we all pretty much is limited to that anyway. Or is it that you don't owe nobody nothing, like you, what they call it, debt free? Oh yeah, you're debt free, and you still got your light, water, gas, and all that kind of stuff. And is it to be free on your own? I know young people say that all the time. I'm leaving the house because I don't want to be under nobody's rule, and I don't want to do what mom and daddy say no more. So I just want to be free. And so they leave the house. And the next thing you know, you paying their light, water, and gas bill. I'm thinking, if you want to be free, that goes with you. That don't come back to us. You pay your own house note. You pay your own car note. You pay your own light, water, and gas. So freedom got something for you. But the Bible can help us distinguish between what freedom is really about. Now, let me show you something. When we think about this free, when we think about being free, sometimes we go back to this idea of slavery and things of that sort. But when I look at the Bible, Jesus put a little twist on that thing as I was reading it getting my lesson together for Sunday. Jesus put another twist on that thing. He didn't say that if you live in Kentucky, and I found out that Kentucky was a pretty big slavery state. He didn't say if you lived in Kentucky, Mississippi, Alabama, you know, Arkansas, and I'm finding out that there are a whole lot of close to being northern states, as we would call it, that was really slavery states. And so the Lord says you can talk about that all you want to when the slaves was freed, and things of that nature, and you can get pretty deep in that. But let me show you somewhat. Let me show you how the Lord flipped the script on us. He says in John 8 and verse number 32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we have never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. For if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The Lord says, you may be bound by your light bill, gas bill, your car payment, your house payment, everything like that. He said, but you worried about the wrong thing. Jesus says, the biggest thing that you got to worry about is being in sin. He says, if you die in your sins, according to John 8:24 and John 8:21, Jesus said, matter of fact, he said it twice. In John 8:21, he said, you're sort of worrying about the wrong kind of a bondage. You're sort of worried about the wrong kind of freedom. He says in verse 21, he says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, where I go, ye cannot go. And then Jesus said unto them again, he said, and he said unto them, ye are from above. I am, you are from beneath. I am from above. And you are of this world, and I am not of this world. And he says, I therefore say unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe me not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come. Jesus said, I know you got some bondage problems, and I know you got some other kind of problems on earth. He said, but the biggest problem that you got to face is don't die in your sins. Don't die outside of the body of Christ. Don't die not having been baptized into the body of Christ. And don't die not having done the best that you possibly could to become a child of God. He says in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, when we talk about, oh, you know what, my parents was this and I was that and everything, and I just can't do nothing around the house, and so I'm getting out from under the bondage of my parents. Jesus said, you got a bigger problem than that. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, he said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. The Lord says, in this particular passage, he says, you almost have to wait the next January or February to talk about slavery and all of that other kind of stuff. He said, right now, you better look at the spiritual side. What shape is your soul in? Because if you die, if you die with a big house payment and you die with a big car payment and all that kind of stuff, he said, that is really not your biggest problem. He said, whatever you do, don't die with a big car payment and a house payment without being in Christ, without having your sins washed away, without being in the church of Christ. And the song says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Jesus told the Jews there, they said, we've never been in bondage to anybody. Jesus said, I know that. He said, but here's what you need to recognize is that there's six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven things is abomination unto him. A lying tongue, hand to shed innocent blood, feet to be swift to run to mischief, he that soweth discord among the brethren. He said, now that's the kind of bondage that you need to be thinking about. He said, because if you die before you become a member of the body of Christ, if you die before you're baptized, if you die before your sins have been washed away, then you've got a serious problem in judgment day. Father, we thank you for this day, and we know that you love us, and you died for us, and you're coming again. But help us to go through this weekend thinking about getting out of that bondage and putting you on in Jesus' name, we pray, and have a super-duper week.